Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, the possible impact to our regional UW campuses of Governor Walker's decision to cut more than $46 million from the University of Wisconsin budget. UW System President Kevin Riley called the cuts the largest in history and predicted that universities would have fewer and larger classes. Current students would need more time and larger loans to graduate, and future students would find it more difficult to get into the UW system. Those cuts were announced as part of the governor's effort to balance the state budget without tax increases. We have the top people from all three of our regional UW campuses with us today. From UW Stevens Point, Chancellor Bernie Patterson. From UW Marathon County, Dean Keith Montgomery. And from UW Marshfield Wood County, Dean Patricia Sturr. As always, we're going to open the phone lines up to you. If you've got a comment on these proposed cuts, if you have questions about the impact on our regional campuses, please give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. I will try to squeeze as many calls in as we can. Again, that's 1-800-780-9742, and the lines are wide open. Bernie, Keith, and Patricia, I am going to be kind of informal here, if you don't mind that. Welcome to Route 51.
Thank you.
Why don't we start with an overview of all three of our regional campuses and the role they play in higher education for the people of central Wisconsin. Bernie, let's start with you. Talk about the UW-Stevens Point campus, the things that distinguish it from the other four-year schools, the number of students you have, where they come from, what they study, the things that really distinguish your campus, the things you're proud of, and the impact it has on the greater Stevens Point area.
Well, sure, Glenn. We have 9,500 students on campus, most of which are undergraduate students, some graduate students, but not that many in comparison. We have some outstanding programs. Probably some that are most known are the College of Natural Resources, the largest undergraduate college of natural resources in the country. I think we're probably quite well known in that area. We do an extraordinary work in the fine arts, in music and dance, in theater, and in the sciences. We send more students on for graduate degrees than any of the other comprehensive campuses in the state. Graduate degrees in STEM, science, technology, mm-hmm. math, engineering. So we're pretty diverse in many ways, Glenn.
And Keith, let's move to you. As far as UW Marathon County, same question. The things that make your school and all the two-year schools, for that matter, an attractive alternative, how your campus fits in with the entire UW system, the number of students who attend, where they come from, what they study, and the school's impact on the greater Wausau area. That's a laundry list, but...
I'll try and remember. We have 1,400 students. We do have a residence hall, so we do draw from some counties, particularly to north of us, but mainly we draw from Marathon County, Lincoln, counties that touch on Marathon County as well. We provide local access to the UW system. I always tell people who visit our campus, we are the UW. You come here, you're on a UW campus. You're in the system, and I think that's very important for people to realize. And so we prepare students and we send them on. We like it when students stay here and get an associate's degree, but primarily we see ourselves as a transfer institution, and we want students to be prepared for success at UWSP, which is where our number one transfer school is UWSP, Eau Claire, Oshkosh, and Madison. So we see ourselves as preparing students. As far as the local community is concerned, we see ourselves as having a very important role to play in the community, not just for students, but for the community's the programming we put on in the Center for Civic Engagement, for example, and the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, the theater programs we have, and of course we do also have a public radio station right here on campus as well.
Indeed, and the Center for Civic Engagement is where the public radio station is located. Correct. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that as a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter, I'm also employed by the University of Wisconsin system, specifically University of Wisconsin Extension. Patricia Sturr, same question for you. UW-Marshfield, Wood County, why do students choose your school and the two-year schools in general? how your campus fits in with the entire UW system, the number of students, where they come from, what they study, the thing you're proudest of, and again, the school's impact on the greater Marshfield-Wood County area.
Well, this year we have record enrollments at the Marshfield-Wood County campus. We have 720 students, and that is a landmark number for us this year. Most of our students come from the Marshfield area or the Wood County area, and we do have a few from surrounding counties. Most of our students are interested in the areas of health. We have a big nursing program that is connected with the University of Eau Claire. We have a number of business majors, number of teachers in the districts come to us to begin their education. Social work is big with us, too, and are the arts. A number of people come because I think the opportunities that the clinic, the hospital, and the research center afford. So we have a number of returning students. 46% of our students are non-traditional students and students that attend programs and pick up courses, maybe not full-time but part-time. So that's, in a nutshell, what we are known for.
I think one good point that Pat made there is the non-traditional student population. Because we offer that kind of local access, and we also offer courses that are often on schedules that adult students can access those courses. So, you know, a regional institution like UWSP, you know, it serves the entire state. I think, in fact, Bernie, I think your students come from all 72 counties of the state.
I believe that's correct.
Right. So we also serve the Wausau District also in terms of returning adult students.
And well, Stevens Point is our number one school where we transfer students to along with Eau Claire and La Crosse and Oshkosh mm-hmm. and Madison.
We like it that way. That's the great thing about our system. It can be a seamless experience for the students that begin at our two-year campuses and then transfer on to either the comprehensive or Madison or Milwaukee. And that makes it so great for the students of this state and for our taxpayers. It's a well-organized, well-run, I think, system of higher education that our students benefit from greatly.
And the three campuses together have really worked on developing a cooperative interrelationship so that you're really stressing the fact that if people start at the two-year schools at UW-Marathon County and UW-Marshfield-Wood County, the credits transfer and they can move on to UW-Stevens Point if they need to.
Absolutely.
And that was true when I was a student at the Marshfield-Wood County mm-hmm. campus. Along with a number of my brothers and sisters, seven of us went to the campus, one of us went to the Wausau campus, and it's still true today.
Yeah, I think the transfer is as it should be, I think. It wasn't always so, but particularly in the 90s, the Regents worked very hard at really integrating the system. So we don't just transfer to Point, but we transfer throughout the entire system.
And we come to your campus, Keith, and teach, delivering our business program here. As part of a four-year curriculum.
That's a great point. I mean, it does work both ways in that sense, because through what we call the collaborative degree program, you actually do offer the upper-level courses that enable a student, in, as you said, in business administration with a couple of concentrations. I think they can actually stay here right in Wausau and get a four-year degree.
Yes, and I think we ought to think about it the other way, too, is that your faculty can come to our campus and teach as well. So there's an invitation, because we can always use some help.
Well,
we could all use some help. What's the bang for the buck that students get by attending any of these schools? And let's start with the two-year schools, because tuition really is a bargain at the two-year schools.
Tuition? Sorry?
Yeah, tuition is the lowest of the state in the mm-hmm. two-year schools. And also, the students could probably stay at home or commute from short distances to the campuses, and that's a money saver, too. And I think they can oftentimes work part-time in the communities and still pick up credits.
Well, it's always been an option, but particularly since the economic downturn and many families and many students are under economic pressure, I think we've become something of a safety valve, I should say, for the dreams, mm-hmm. an outlet for the dreams of some students who haven't had to abandon those dreams, but they can begin a UW education and they can do it in the most cost-efficient way possible.
And if you go for 2 years in Wausau or Marshfield and then transfer to Stevens Point, well, you've saved some money in tuition, but also UW-Stevens Point is a bargain compared to a lot of institutions.
Well, absolutely, both in-state and out-of-state. Within the system, we're probably in about the bottom third of the comprehensive campuses in terms of cost of tuition and fees. When we compare ourselves to institutions out of the state, for Illinois, for example, we know we have a lot of students from Chicago and from Northern Illinois come to us because it's cheaper to pay out-of-state tuition at Stevens Point than mm-hmm. to pay in-state tuition in Illinois.
Okay. So your reactions, given your schools, given the needs they serve locally, the impact that these institutions have on the local communities, on Stevens Point, on Wausau, on Marshfield, the fact that this is really the most cost-effective way for people to get a higher education, your reaction to the governor's proposal to balance the budget by cutting more than $46 million from the UW budget?
Well let me just tie that into the last question here, because although we have such low tuition in UW colleges, that's not to say that we don't have quality. It's not that we're saving on the quality, and it's not that we're piling students into big classes to make savings. That's not how we operate at the sort of low budget that we do. So one of the impacts I'll say is there's a potential impact on quality mm-hmm. there. We have to be very careful. I don't think we're there yet, mm-hmm. but if cuts were to continue somewhere out ahead, you might actually start to find it difficult to recruit
yes.
faculty.
Oh, well, yes, and we're having some issues with that right now. I want to say, though, that our goal is not to be the cheapest alternative for education. Our goal is to provide the very best education one can receive in this state at a fair and reasonable price.
But the question again, the impact of the $46 million cuts to the entire UW system?
Traumatic. We are having fewer classes. We find it now much more difficult to recruit faculty. We've been in the national news all this past year, and that has surfaced in our recruitment of the very best faculty to Stevens Point and throughout the state. We are cutting back on our renewal of technology, on deferred maintenance. Positions are being held open. That means if you have fewer people working, that's another economic issue in the community. We released a report this past year that told us that our institution has an economic impact of $408 million a year in central Wisconsin, $17 million of that in tax revenue. But if our budget continues to shrink, that impact will shrink, and therefore there will be fewer jobs, and there will be less money in the pockets of the citizens of central Wisconsin who used to work or did work or had their pay reduced. So it's all tied together in terms of the economic impact. And so those cuts not only reduce the services that we can provide, it also reduces the employment opportunities, and it reduces the discretionary income that our faculty and staff have. It reduces the spending that the institution makes in central Wisconsin. So there's a huge ripple effect here.
And I have to agree that we've had some of those same types of things to consider. The lapse came, or this cut came, at a really bad time. Budgets have already been prepared. And so I just came in August, and I was faced with, what do you do with a budget that's already set? We had a couple of positions that were open, a custodial position that was open and a student services position that was open, and we decided to freeze those positions and hold them open to save money, which, of course, puts a burden on the other people that are working there. And like Bernie said, then you don't have this kind of money coming into the community for those positions that we could have hired two other people. We also cut areas, not the quality of the instructors or the curriculum, but enhancements that would have happened. For the first time, with the increased enrollment, we ask faculty and staff, well, what would you like to have to make your teaching experiences better for the students? And I actually had to ask three times because people weren't even believing that I was asking mm-hmm. for them to make these kinds of suggestions. So they finally turned their wish list into me, and there were things like computer programs to analyze DNA or computer programs for statistical analysis for social studies programs. And all of those kinds of curricular enhancements now are going to be put on hold until we can get that extra kind of money to fulfill some of those little dreams that people have to just help the curriculum to have that extra little punch.
Well, when you're talking about software programs like analyzing DNA, if you're providing health courses, health-related courses, and you're tied in with places like the Marshfield Clinic and the healthcare industries in central Wisconsin, that doesn't sound like a luxury to me.
No, it really isn't a luxury. It's something, you know, that I thought would enhance the curriculum. People have been teaching the basic curriculum and doing a fabulous job. Our faculty is just top-rate faculty. But this is something that I think really would have helped us out a lot. And a lot of the environments in those science labs haven't changed either. And for Marshfield, with the research center and the hospital and the clinic, I would think that we really need to kind of bone these things up. With these kinds of cuts, it looks like maybe some of my dreams for the campus are going to have to be put on hold.
Dean Patricia Sturr of UW-Marshfield, Wood County, Keith Montgomery, the dean at UW-Marathon County, and Bernie Patterson, chancellor at UW-Stevens Point. We're talking about $46 million in cuts facing the UW system, the impact on our regional campuses. And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think? 1-800-780-9742. Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think it's necessary in order to balance the state budget without tax increases, which is the governor's goal? Or do you think that it's misplaced and that it will hurt not only the quality of the University of Wisconsin as the flagship institution of higher education in the state, but perhaps have ripple effects for the entire economy? 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now. You can get right in if you'd like to call us. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about the impact of a $46 million projected budget cut proposed by Governor Walker for the UW system in order to balance the budget. We've got Chancellor Bernie Patterson from UW-Stevens Point, Dean Montgomery from UW-Marathon County, and Patricia Sturr from UW-Marshfield-Wood County. The only people we're missing is you, 1-800-780-9742. Let's look again at UW System President Kevin Riley's prediction. He called the cuts the largest in history, predicted that universities would have fewer and larger classes, current students would need more time and larger loans to graduate, and future students would find it more difficult to get into the UW system. Bernie, is he making an accurate prediction, or is that vision overly apocalyptic?
I think he's very accurate. The point we don't want to forget here is that while these are huge budget cuts that are coming at us right now, they're not the first. Over the last 8 years, my institution has cut or given back in lapse over $12 million. So it's not that we're starting from a sound position. We're starting from a position where we've already cut and cut and cut. So now we're down to the bone, as they say, with these most recent cuts. But they're certainly not the first, and I'm afraid they won't be the last.
You know, in the question of loans and student debt, there was a time 10, 15 years ago when the state GPR dollars were 60% of the budget and tuition was 40% of the budget. Now it's exactly reversed itself. So students are having to take out more loans, or students are having to work in order to pay for their education more than they ever had.
At a time when the economy has made that even more difficult for students to achieve.
So, but you know, if students have to work more hours in order to pay for their education, the consequence of that is you can sometimes then increase the time to degree because they're not able to take the same credits, and they may not even be as successful in the credits that they take because they have to do work 25-30 hours a week.
Well, this latest round of cuts, this $46 million, is this a done deal, or is there any chance of getting the figure either reversed or reduced?
Well, there's a passive review required by the Joint Finance Committee, Last I heard, one member of that committee had asked for a hearing on this. That can always be retracted, and therefore they wouldn't have a hearing. So I don't know if that hearing is still on or not. But they do. The Joint Finance Committee does have a say in this if they want to assert their opinion.
Are you implementing these cuts right now, or is this something that's going to fall like the, you know, the proverbial anvil sometime down the road?
We are. The immediate cuts are given to us as lapses, which means that they're temporary cuts. But no one believes that they're temporary because they've already been told that count on them again next biennium. And by the time you get through 4 years, nobody thinks the money is going to come back. Well, so we're treating them as permanent cuts.
Yeah, I think there's a provision in the bill, if I'm not mistaken, that would allow them to be sort of renewed in the next biennium, which is, I think, a little unusual.
Yes.
But bear in mind also that the lapse that's been proposed, there is a larger lapse as well if revenue projections don't work out. So I'm not saying I'm an expert in state revenue projections, but I mean the lapse is based on what is projected. So it's conceivable actually they could come back and ask for not quite twice as much, but a considerable amount more.
Glenn, there's a huge public policy question here that's being decided without a public conversation in the state on its merits, and it's simply this. We are shifting the burden of education, a college education, from providing it by the state to a user fee. When the system was formed in 1971, more than 50% of our budget was provided through the state. Now it's 17%.
Bernie, hold that thought. We've got a break for news. We'll be back with more with Chancellor Patterson, Dean Montgomery, and Dean Sturr on about UW Budget on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
Today on Route 51, the impact of $46 million in budget cuts from the University of Wisconsin budget, the impact on our regional campuses in north central Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin Stevens Point. We have Chancellor Bernie Patterson with us, University of Wisconsin Marathon County. We have Dean Keith Montgomery, and University of Wisconsin Marshfield Wood County. We have Dean Patricia Sturr. I'm Glenn Moberg. System President Kevin Riley predicted that the cuts would lead to fewer and larger classes, current students would need more time and larger loans to graduate, future students would find it more difficult to get into the UW system. Before the break, Chancellor Patterson told us that that vision was not apocalyptic. It was something that many of these campuses are having to deal with right now. And Bernie, when we left the conversation, you were talking about how this is a philosophical change, a change in attitude as to how we have traditionally viewed higher education in Wisconsin, and a change that you say is occurring without any public debate.
I think that's right, Glenn. For I don't know, 50 or 75 years in this state, the state has played a big part in providing higher education. While the students did contribute through tuition, the majority of the load was carried by the state. And that shift is now moving that burden to the students. Today, our budget is made up of only 17% of state revenue. And so that means the students are paying more and more. And we're, in essence, privatizing higher education in this state without talking about it.
Well, and I also think that people are beginning to look at education as a personal good rather than a social good. And personally, I don't know how anyone in the city of Marshfield could think that we could exist without our nurses or our social workers or our teachers. And many of our students return to the community and take up those positions. And so I think this is something that's really important to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think there's a balance there somewhere between, you know, private gain and public good. I don't know quite where that balance is. But the fact is that people are well-educated, who have jobs and professions, they become taxpayers. And so you increase your tax revenue, and you also increase the attraction of the state to employers. because you have an educated workforce, a degreed workforce, and that's something that Wisconsin has struggled in. So what happens is that education becomes actually a public investment in the economic future of Wisconsin. And the more you take it away think about it as less of a public good, more of a private gain, then really I think you're potentially sort of, you know, taking away from future public good there. We have a business roundtable on this campus last February. We have one coming up this February. And employers tell us what they need in an educated workforce. And it's the kind of liberal arts education that the colleges provide, the general education at Stevens Point provides, and also the type of degrees that Stevens Point provides. And they need those things to recruit companies, to recruit workers, to retain their spouses, and also even in more subjectively to create an environment in a community that has a kind of an intellectual center, if I could say that, among other things. We have museums and other things in Wausau, of course, but it helps to create us of an intellectual center as well that also helps to retain people in the community. So there's tremendous public good and not just the private gain that someone gets from a higher income because they got a university education. So somebody, Bernie talked about public policy discussion. We have to discussion about this. Where does the balance lie? Is it 60-40, 40-60? Or Bernie's saying that the actual state GPR dollars to UWSP are absolutely tiny now. Yeah. I'm not sure the public necessarily realizes that.
And I think something else that's really important, and Keith, you've hit on it, is that you're paying attention to what the employers of the community want. And I've been visiting lots of places in Marshfield and talking to business owners and people who are at institutions such as the clinic and the hospital and trying to figure out what are their needs and are we really meeting them at the campus? And if not, how can we enhance our curriculum to do that? And I think all of us are probably as leaders in the education area concerned with that and in helping our communities.
I think Pat and Keith have certainly hit it right on the head. The concern about the balance between public good and private gain is just not being carefully considered. I'm very worried that the public good piece of this is being discarded. You only have to look west to Minnesota to see that they have a educational level there in their state of young people with college degrees higher than the national average. Wisconsin, unfortunately, we're below the national average. Now, who wants to be below average? But more than who wants to be below average is the fact that the per capita income in Minnesota is $5,000 more than it is in Wisconsin. And if we could close that gap, the citizens in this state would have $29 billion more in their pocket.
How do you react to the governor and his supporters who say, look, the state is broke? We've been on a spending spree for year after year after year. We have to make cuts. The governor was elected saying he was going to balance that budget with cuts without any tax increases. And the university system has to take its cuts and its lumps with everyone else.
Well, obviously, I'm not responsible for the state budget in the same way that a legislator is. I mean, they have responsibility to balance the budget. I'm faced with the same thing on the school board. You know, it's a different thing when you've actually got to balance the budget. But you know, you also have an opportunity to shape the future here by thinking carefully about the budget and where you're going to make your investments. What sort of future do we foresee? Is it we just going to cut back on education and increase correctional spending, for example? Is that the type of job opportunities we're going to provide people?
Are you saying that there's a necessary and a strict correlation between
no,
the two?
No, but it is sometimes made as a common comparison between Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota. Minnesota's correctional incarceration rate is actually very low. I mean, they have a different way of dealing with legal problems.
Let's go to the phones. We have Trent, who's been waiting patiently. Trent, you're on Route 51 with Keith Montgomery, Pat Sturr, and Bernie Patterson. Hello, Trent.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm a Minnesota resident passing through, tuning in. I've been accepted to a Wisconsin grad school, so it kind of applies to me. I would have to respectfully disagree. Just think that a balanced budget is absolutely necessary, and these cuts need to be taken. I don't know how there's another way to do so, and I, in your position, I would really this is a kind of a bummer time to do so. But it's absolutely necessary, and I think that the more money you put into education doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be more, you're going to get a better education. For example, in Minnesota, you're referencing that they have higher test scores and such. But if you look at, like, the Minneapolis School District in St. Paul, that's where all the money goes, yet they still have the lowest test scores and the lowest graduation percentage.
Well, I would agree with Keith to a point.
With Trent.
We do have to balance the budget, and just like we do at home, you have to balance the budget.
Right.
The problem here is that the university system has about 7% of the state budget, but we're asked to take 38% of the state cut. And so it just becomes a question of priorities. And if you think of education as being a major part of the solution to the economic problem, then it seems pretty nearsighted to divide up the cuts the way we have.
Trent, do you have something that you'd like to add?
No, that's good. Thanks. Thank you for taking the call.
Well, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate the call. 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to weigh in on the $46 million budget cut facing the UW system and its impact on our regional campuses.
Well, I mean, I would just remind you that that's 46 in the first year and then another 19 in the second year, so it's actually a $65 million lapse.
I asked the question briefly before the news break. Is this a done deal, or is there any chance of getting the figure reversed or reduced?
We're certainly talking to everybody that we can talk to about some reconsideration of how this has been divided out.
And do you have any idea how these cuts would be implemented? Would they be implemented across the board, or would some schools take more of a hit than others?
Each school is taking a proportional share of the cuts.
Is that based on attendance at the individual school?
No, it's based on their share of budget. So I guess that is in some sense across the board, but it's not an equal it's proportionate.
It depends on your size of your budget.
Yeah. Yep.
When you're a smaller campus, the proportion, even though it is proportional, it really hits you a lot harder, I feel. And I think that for us at Marshfield, it's been a real struggle trying to figure out, well, what are we doing and what are we going to cut? Because we're so bare bones the way it is. I mean, 720 students, that's record enrollment. So obviously students see a very worthwhile opportunity here. However, to take our share of the cut, it has taken some very ingenious work to try to make this happen.
Pat makes a good point. I think she's right in that the smaller your budget, the less flexibility you have in maneuvering around these difficult decisions and issues. And the same would apply to us. It's going to be much more difficult for us to manage our piece of this than Madison, for example, who has a much larger tenfold.
Mm-hmm. I think as you look at cuts, so you try and be strategic. If it's a done deal, you have to say, well, what are our principles here? What principles are we going to operate by? And I think one principle that we operate by is that as much as possible, we're going to try and minimize the impact, the direct impact on the students. So you talk about increasing class sizes. You know, that's we kind of don't want to go there, but there's other things that we know we can cut and that we're talking about.
Well, the university is getting the lion's share of these budget cuts, but there were budget cuts that were also handed down to municipal governments, to public school systems. And when all of this came down about a year ago, the governor and the assembly and the Senate eliminated collective bargaining powers for many of the UW teachers and staff, the union members. And the governor said, by doing this, I'm giving you the tools you need to balance your budgets. By taking away these collective bargaining powers, you will have more control over your faculty. You'll have more control over your expenses. The argument was made to local school districts. Is that something that you have seen, that you as administrators have been given the tools you need by them taking away collective bargaining powers from the faculty members so that you have more control over your budgets?
No, because faculty are never governed, are not unionized, they were never covered by collective bargaining agreements. Same thing is true of the academic staff. So we do have classified staff members who are unionized and primarily maintenance, and also administrative workers too, secretarial. But most of the expense in terms of employment is in academic staff and the faculty that are not unionized.
Actually, salaries, I think, have been, although I'm new to the campus, I think salaries have been froze for about 4 years on our campus. And so I don't think at our campus that's made much of a difference. And it looks like we've got another 2 years of looking at frozen salaries, too.
Salaries have been frozen, but...
Some campuses voted to unionize following these changes.
Well, not in the colleges. I don't think that's true of UWSP either. But I would point out that while salaries have been frozen, we're now paying much more for benefits. And to some extent, you know, we're not unionized, but you do sort of trade off in your own mind. You say, well, the salaries are pretty good, but not maybe as high as they are in some surrounding states. On the other hand, the benefits are terrific. But now we have to pay both more for healthcare benefits and also more towards the Wisconsin retirement system. For some employees, that's a huge hit. That's like 12% to 15% reduction in take-home pay. So salaries have been frozen, but the take-home pay has gone down.
Yeah, so salaries are actually going down, and I think that's where Bernie's comment
is that helping you balance your budgets at all, or is that just something that is being taken as a hit by the faculty members?
It's not helping us.
No.
One point about the flexibilities. I want to compliment the administration, the legislature, for starting to address that huge problem. More flexibilities for the institution are absolutely critical, but we've only taken the first step, and it's been a rather small step at that. For example, the change in purchasing procedures. Well, that's good. It's less burdensome. Our volume isn't like Madison, and so it's not going to make a big difference, you know. The building changes in building regulations. Well, you don't have to get state approval for a building of $500,000 if it's all gift money. Well, that's not going to happen on our campus, and it's just not something that is applicable to us.
Well, we did have a forum, Bernie, this past summer with you and Keith Montgomery. You were involved with it, too.
Mark Bradley.
And Mark Bradley was there, and also Lori Wires, the president of North Central Technical College. And at that forum, Mark Bradley said at the time that UW-Madison Chancellor Biddy Martin, you remember this, there was this whole proposal to spin off UW-Madison from the rest of the system. He said she was right in one respect. Her school needed more autonomy and flexibility, but he also said that so did the other schools, including UWSP and the two-year schools. Bernie, you started to touch on that. Are you seeing more flexibility and autonomy, or do you need to go further than that in order to get a handle on things?
We need to go much further than where we've gone so far. Like I was saying, I think the legislature has the right spirit about this, and they understand the business side. And we have to be able to maneuver more like private colleges and universities and more like successful businesses. Just here's an example. If we were to give an administrative assistant a $50 raise annually, I don't have the authority to approve that. Neither does the Board of Regents of this state. It has to go to another state agency to approve an administrative assistant getting a $50 raise. No business in this country could survive with that kind of regulation and restriction. So there has to be yet wholesale changes in how we do business.
So you have no way of directly rewarding people who are providing you with exceptional service?
The ones I were talking about just now, that example applies to our classified staff. Now, we do have other mechanisms for, if we had the funding, for classified academic staff and for faculty. But for classified staff, the restrictions are still huge in terms of dealing with their situation.
The college is a little more complicated because we're a distributed system of 13 campuses with a central office. And, you know, I'm going to give some credit to the colleges here. A couple of years ago, we didn't see the lapse coming. We didn't see the $250 million cut coming. But you could kind of see the historical sweep of things in terms of reduced public investment. And so one of the things that we did is we came up with a new management model, which actually allows the individual campuses essentially to get block grants and then to manage that money however they see fit. So we can now move money between different units on the campus in a way that we never used to be able to. So as we move into that new model and as we try and make investments in student recruitment and success and retention, which is always our primary focus, those three things, particularly success and retention, but suddenly we have to deal with these cuts as well.
We're going to stop and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be back with more on the local impact, the impact to our regional UW campuses of the $46 million budget cut facing the UW system. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're into the last few minutes of the show with Chancellor Bernie Patterson, Dean Montgomery, and Dean Patricia Stuhr of UW-Marshfield Wood County. How is all of this affecting your ability to retain top-notch faculty talent, professors, researchers, the kinds of people that really are essential for a first-class higher education system?
Lynn, we had one of our best faculty members leave this year because of these difficulties. He went to another state. He took a reduction in rank and gave up tenure to make this move. His wife, who happened to be a pediatrician, of course, went with him, and that was another loss for our community. We just completed a salary study where we looked at the salaries at 262 other public comprehensive universities, and we know now, we have the data that substantiates that 90% of our faculty are paid less than the average at these other public universities. That's 90% of our faculty are paid less than the average salary at public universities. That's going to make it very difficult to recruit the best faculty to this state, and there will have a direct impact in the classroom.
But, you know, the quality of the faculty that we have is absolutely remarkable. And but there's an impact that Bernie touches on there that you'll never know, and that's to say when it comes to filling positions, you don't know who's not applying for the job.
Right.
Because it's kind of, in that sense, you didn't really know what the future might have been.
And I agree with Keith. I think we have top-notch faculty right now. But I have looked over the records, and it seems in the last few years we've had young faculty turnover quite a bit. And so the older folks seem to be staying there. They have their roots down. They have their families. They're in the schools. They're kind of committed to the community. But the younger, energetic young folks that we would love to have in the community don't stick around that long.
So you're saying it may affect your long-term future.
It certainly may. But we are also doing some really exciting things, I think, with the faculty that we have now. And I just wanted to touch on that with some of the things that we're doing in the community.
Very, very quickly, Pat.
Okay. We are engaging in dual enrollments with the schools, in the public schools, with like Edgar and Abbotsford and
with the high schools.
With the high schools, and I think that's great. And we're also working on a four-year degree with Bernie's institution, Stevens Point, where the Marshfield people will be able to work with our institutions. And this degree will be through the college, but offered by both of our institutions. And I think it'll be a wonderful opportunity.
Bernie, is there anything that you'd like to add? We're down to our last 30 seconds or so here.
Yes, there was a social contract in this state some 30 or 40 years ago, and it was basically better benefits and lower salaries. And now that we've adjusted the benefits, it's absolutely time to adjust the salaries. It's only fair to our faculty and our staff.
Keith Montgomery, anything you'd like to add?
We want to maintain quality, and we want to focus on student success and retention, and that's still going to be our focus here. Even as we move into making cuts, we're going to maintain that to the end.
And finally, Pat.
And we're going to keep going forward with all the wonderful ideas that we can come up with and try all kinds of different things.
And are you still suggesting people contact their legislators, Bernie, if they have concerns about this, or is this
Absolutely.
A done deal at this point?
Please make those calls.
All right, we want to thank our three guests, UW-Stevens Point Chancellor Bernie Patterson, also UW-Marathon County Dean Keith Montgomery, and UW-Marshfield Wood County Dean Patricia Stuhr. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday on Route 51, we look at the pros and cons of the Mining Reform Bill, currently before the General Assembly and the State Senate. We'll listen to the testimony from this week's hearing on the proposal in Hurley and discuss the possible impact of an iron mine in the Pinocchio Range near Lake Superior, the impact in job creation, and its potential effect on the environment. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. If you're going forward on our highways this evening, please drive carefully. Until next week, we're heading out of town.